How many of you still use like paper calendars or planners? Okay, a couple of you older ones. Oh, she's a young one. See? Some people still have some sense. Don't do everything on your phone. So I got my set from Franklin Covey. So maybe that doesn't mean anything to you. It's a famous guy. Okay. Covey's a famous guy. So you get these little sayings of wisdom at the top on my set, and one a week. For example, hold fast to dreams, for if dreams die, life is a broken-winged bird that cannot fly. And that's Langston Hughes, and of course, I don't believe that. And another good one. The greatest explorer on this earth never takes voyages as long as those of the man who descends to the depth of his heart. He really doesn't know how deep the depths are. So that's like going down to the pits of hell, right? So they should leave that one out. But I think Kobe was a Mormon. I forgot. Live as if you were to die tomorrow. Nope. I mean, if you think about us, that's halfway decent advice, probably. Learn as if you were to live forever. Well, this isn't written by a Christian, that's by Gandhi. And so when he says, live as if you were to die tomorrow, he's not thinking because you're going to stand in front of God in the next second. He's not thinking about that. I have no idea what he means. I mean, if you take it from the, shouldn't it be eat, drink, and be merry for tomorrow we die, right? Shouldn't be that the, I don't know. Learn as if you were to live forever. Does that mean you can just take your time and like you can do, like if, you know, our son is in high school curriculum now, so he doesn't need to do one page of math a day or three pages. He just needs to do two problems a day because he's got forever, right? I don't know what that means. No, you're really going to like this one. There we go. Thought I marked it. It's next week, but I'll show it to you before we get there. This is deep, so pay attention. I feel that sin and evil are the negative part of you, and I think it's like a battery. You've got to have the negative and positive in order to be a complete person. Do you think that makes sense? So let's just look at a Bible verse to wash that out of our heads, right? Colossians chapter 2, verse 10. Oh, by the way, you'll surely be interested to know who wrote that. They say it's by Dolly Parton. Okay, who knows? The famous country western singer. I think she needs to just stick to singing country western. Colossians 2, verse 10. And ye are complete in him which is the head of all principality and power. I'm complete in him. And if you can take all of the sin and all of the evil away forever, that's even better, right? And that's the whole idea, or that's part of what we are heading for when in verse 11 he reminds us, in whom ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh, right? At least for now, there's some kind of separation between our soul and our sinful flesh. And so we are no longer attached to it and controlled by it and so on. So I'm certainly not a battery that needs the evil part and the positive part, like whatever. I have no... Okay, well, that was the way. Got an epic story for you this morning. It's as big as David's or Solomon's or Joseph's. It covers both Easter and Christmas. How about that? So we'll cover them both. So Brother Kyle doesn't want to do a seasonal sermon any of those days. He doesn't have to because I took care of him. So it's kind of like a holiday sermon, but All right, let's pray and ask the Lord to bless. Lord, you're very good to us. We have so many freedoms here that we too easily take for granted. And, we have so many blessings. We're saved and complete in you. There's so many people, though, that are not. You take care of us so well. It's so wonderful to hear that, that we got that fixed after so many years. We hear with sorrow a young man was killed in a terrible way, and now his mother and father have to face that. Pray, Father, you do something for them. I don't know if they're saved, but only you can comfort them, Father. Ask now you bless this message, and the Word of God is so deep and has so many things in it. So I want to bring out the things that you would have and as you would have me to say them. For Jesus' sake, amen. So this story may seem like a tragedy as we go along, but it's not really a tragedy. We'll finally get to the end. But there's much sorrow, but not because of individual sin like David's story. There's a lot of sorrow in David's story, but that's because of his individual sin. But not in this one so much, and I could probably say not really at all. But there's sorrow because of God's plan and its greatness and how it must deal with the nature of human sin and then the nature of sin and in man, and it encompasses all those things. And in many ways, then the plan overwhelms us as individuals. And because we are all just dust, right? So if it weren't for the life that God has breathed into us and then the rebirth of our spirits, well, we would be less than nothing. And so sometimes God even takes us to the depths of despair. Yet also he leads us up to mountains of joy that the lost world, people that do not have Christ, they know nothing about. That's all in this story. Today I'm going to tell you the story of Mary and Joseph. Mary and Joseph. Now, Mary and Joseph are just, really, they're just ordinary people. They're not like leaders or big-time business people or intellectuals or anything like that. They're not poor. They're not rich. Joseph had his carpentry business, and I think he probably did well enough. He probably took care of his family and so on. But they were drawn into the greatest story of the ages. An ordinary couple drawn into the most amazing story. We will see Jesus arrive in their lives and change everything. And so, when we're going through this, I want you to understand this as how Christ has come into your life. And that happened to you when you were born again, right? Okay, so when we talk about Christ's birth into the family of Mary and Joseph, of course, that's not when they were born again. Okay, you understand that. But that's how I want you to follow the lesson like that, because we're going to learn some things as we walk with them and see them learn about who their son really is, really was. And so let's think about it that way as we walk and then see what we can learn more about our Savior Jesus Christ. Let's turn then to Matthew chapter 1, and we'll start there. So pretty much, we're just going to be looking in the gospel passages. So it'll be easy enough for turning. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Starting at verse 18. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When, as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. Does anybody need to be told that what that word means? I mean, the King James English is really hard, right? And they use words that are never used anymore today. Anybody? I bet you don't. I'm not. he was minded to put away privily. But while he thought on those things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And then he awakes. This was said to him in a dream, right? Can you imagine what he's thinking after he has a dream like that? I would imagine he's never had God speak to him in a dream his whole life. And so, all of a sudden, he gets this message. Now, keep in mind what has just happened. We should lay the background a little bit. This young couple are betrothed, right? And I would imagine it was a fairly normal courtship and maybe quite an ideal courtship. And maybe they were very much in love and they're young and they're looking forward to their future and having a family. And then one day he sees Mary and he notices that her tummy is much larger than it should be. And so, as a man of his age, he's already acquainted with the facts of life, and so it's not just that she's had too much cake or whatever for at a party or something. It's bigger than that, okay? And he knows what that means. And maybe he's been wondering prior to that when it wasn't so big, and you know, he's looking, you know, I don't know. When I first met Mary, she was very slim. So maybe Mary had noticed it, that it was happening, so she'd start to wear maybe looser clothes, and so it wouldn't be as easily seen. But every once in a while, he noticed when she'd stand a certain way or whatever, when she moved or something, she brushed against something, and it more outlined that it's getting bigger. And then at some point in time, he's got to say, he's going to say something, and I have no idea what he would have said to her. It's kind of funny, but not really, because his future is wrecked, right? His future is wrecked. The woman that he's betrothed to, he has now concluded that she's been with another man and has another man's child. And I would imagine he blew up. I would imagine it's more something like blew up in the... you still act as if everything is fine? Something like that. Or make some reference to our future date. So when you think we should have the ceremony then? You know, or something like that. He would have said something like that. Something sarcastic, biting. It would have been hard not to. I don't know how she responded. I would imagine she was planning to tell him earlier, but she didn't know how. Because we're going to see in a minute that she had a message too. Okay? But she's got a message from God, but the physical evidence says something else, right? By all science or all that they understand, this evidence says something else. And so she, as a young lady, she's trying to figure out how she's going to explain it, because it's never happened before, right? It's never happened like this before. It always happens the regular way, right? And so maybe she started to cry and said, I was going to say, and he rejects her. He immediately says something to her, don't say anything. And I talk with my parents. We'll just quietly end it. And that's all. I loved you once, so I don't want to make any more trouble than is necessary, but my parents will be seeing your parents about it. He walks off. Stuff like that. Imagine the tumult between the two families once, you know, once it's found out, you know. I don't know, did she tell her mother? Did her parents know before Joseph, before she Joseph noticed? And there would have been all kinds of things going on. This one thing is not only going to change them, it's going to change their family. Everyone they know. Right? And so he wakes up. And that's what's been in his head before, right? And maybe she actually got out the part about the Holy Ghost in the conversation. Maybe she actually he got that out. And he wakes up. Whew. What's that? It's true. He's probably just wandering around like, you don't even know where he's going, wandering around thinking, and then he's got to make a plan. The guy's got to go talk to his parents, and he's got to go find her and apologize to her, and he's got all these things, you know, starting to make arrangements in his head, right? So, when in the dream, though, I think this part 21, he says, "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." I would imagine that pretty much he didn't understand that. I don't think he understood that at all. And so in 22 and 23, of course, this isn't in the dream. Okay, this is the record of not said to him. It says, "Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us." And if the angel would have told that to Joseph, he would have understood that, you know, even less. So I imagine after the dream, you know, he made up with her, and then they started off on the greatest journey any couple could ever have. Don't you know? Kind of like when you first received Jesus as your Savior, right? You started off on the greatest journey that any one of us could ever have. So let's go to Luke chapter 1 then, and we'll look over at how it got started with Mary. Luke chapter 1 and verse 26. Verse 26. "And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him," okay, now this isn't in a dream, right? She saw this angel bodily. "When she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be." Sure, if it's an angel standing in front of you, although we know that he probably just looked like an ordinary man, but she's got to be wondering, this is a strange way to greet someone, you come in their house. "And when she saw him," okay, so we were there, and the angel said unto her, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus, and he shall be great, and be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of David his father. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom shall be no end." And so this is a lot of stuff that this young lady is not going to understand at all, right? So when she responds, what does she respond to? Verse 34, "Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" Okay, she understands that part of it. She's going to have a child, okay? And all the other stuff that the angel said, he should be called the Son of the Highest, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. I'm pretty sure that didn't get too far into her head. She wasn't really able to contemplate that. So she just asked him about the part she understands. I'm not married yet. I mean, I'm espoused, but we haven't been together yet. It's the time's not there yet. And so the angel takes into account, and the angel's answered in verse 35. And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Well, I don't know if that explanation would have helped much at all, because it's just not like the normal way of doing it, right? But the angel's trying, right? I mean, because this is how it's going to happen, and this is about the only way you can explain it. So he's trying to help her understand. Sometimes God tries to help us understand, right? And but there's, sometimes there's just only a certain way you can explain it. And the Bible is full of illustrations that bring us back to our physical life, and he'll do that all the time. But sometimes you just might not be able to understand it, because maybe it's never happened, right? Probably never happened to you. Maybe someone else you don't know, but maybe it's never happened to you. So maybe you just can't. There's no common ground. So in verse 36, the angel encourages her by citing another example of a miracle that's already happened along these lines. And he says, And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who is called barren. And so Mary knows that Elizabeth is past the age of normal childbearing. So he's trying to help her see that what seems impossible, God can do, right? And he's already done with Mary, and so he's already done it with Elizabeth. So you should go visit. Verse 37. There's the verse, right? For with God, nothing shall be impossible. You walk with your Savior now. You're learning about Him. Maybe it's been a few years, or maybe even not that long, or several years. Have you learned this yet? For with God, nothing shall be impossible. It was impossible before. You've never seen it happen. Maybe you've never even heard it happen in anyone else's life that God did it that way. But with God, nothing shall be impossible. Mary, God is going to change the whole world in an impossibly miraculous way. And He will reconcile His righteousness with His mercy. And so it takes a special solution, a miraculous solution. And that's what He's going to do, Mary. Now, this reconciliation is going to reconcile the sinner to his Creator, but it's something also that we can have on a daily basis if we seek it out. To reconcile His righteousness with His mercy, He will use methods maybe strange to us, inexplicable, or seemingly impossible. Has He ever done that in your life? Done something that you didn't think He could do? Have you ever heard about Him doing something that you didn't think He would do, but He did it for someone else? He might do the same type of thing for you, too. And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into Judah, and she went to Elizabeth's house, right? And entered in the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord shall come to me? For lo, as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, Mary, the baby leaped in my womb for joy. And so now, you know, Mary's starting to get that this is really, truly something unusual is happening here. The way that that Elizabeth is talking to her. Whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord has come to me? Elizabeth, I'm just a young lady. I mean, how are you talking this way to me? And she's starting to wonder what's going on. and she's starting to maybe get excited, right? And also frightened. I'd say there's all kinds of emotions that are going on in her heart. But this next section is even more amazing. And blessed is she that believe, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. And now Mary. And Mary said, "My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For beholden from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed." I think the Holy Spirit is helping her understand this and helping her say this stuff. Just like Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. It doesn't say that about Mary, but I'm inclined to think that that's the case. How could she all of a sudden know these things? For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. For he hath showed strength with his arm, and he hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. It doesn't sound like a normal young woman's words, does it? She's saying them, but I think she's being helped by the Holy Spirit. Mary, are you willing for God to do all these things? Christian, are you willing for God to work through you? You're part of the epic story too, right? Are you willing for God to work for you in maybe impossible ways? It won't be easy. It will require your all, as we'll see as we go along in the story. Are you willing to magnify your Savior as Mary has? So, it says in verse 56, "And Mary abode with her about 3 months and returned to her own house." I guess I don't know where she met up with Joseph and exactly what time all that transpired. But so she has a time of rest and beginning to prepare, and eventually at some point she was reconciled with Joseph, and so and all that. That's all behind them, and they are ready to go forward as a couple. The child is growing, and the needs of the task just to bear a baby are becoming more and more real. And so all of you that have bore children, you know how that goes. There's a lot to think about just as far as the physical aspect of it goes, right? And how it's gonna change your lives as a couple. But this is going to be a special child. You've been told that directly from God. And you had that, it's not just the witness of, you know, maybe Joseph had some kind of dream, and it's the angel came and told her directly. Elizabeth said the same thing, and Elizabeth had a similar, you know, a miracle of a similar nature happen to her. You know that something's going to be different that has never happened before. And so they're starting to prepare, and undoubtedly excitement, trepidation, and fear, as I mentioned before, even fear. Let's move to chapter 2. And verse 1. "A little time has gone by, and it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made with when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, unto Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child." So notice that there. Now, we see that he made the decision to go there, but I would imagine before he decided that they would make the trek, that was a big deal, and it wasn't an easy decision to make. I calculated it to be about 85 miles that they had to travel. So everything's been going well as far as, you know, probably her pregnancy is a normal pregnancy as far as we can speculate. And so things have been going well, and As they get prepared, you know, of course, when you're big like that, you move slower. You can't do as much work during the day and so on. And certainly, if you talk about riding a donkey, I would imagine you would want to be doing less and less of that if you were in the habit of doing it before. And the wagons didn't have the shocks either, and they didn't even have the springs or the shocks. Well, they could make something that was, you know, shock absorbing. They could do that, you know, but not like what you got in your cars today. So now Joseph has to decide, well, I imagine he was maybe a little put out with God. You know, Lord, you've been good to us, and it was terrible for a while there when I thought that she was gone, it was all over, but now I see, and we're happy with you, Lord, and we're wonderfully, the anticipation is wonderful, but Lord, how will you expect me to work this? It's not going to be very long. It's 85 miles. What do you want me to do, Lord? Should I ignore the summons? Should I ignore the decree and then after the baby's born and you know, then we'll go there and then we'll just report later and we'll say why and we'll ask you to watch over the situation and then they won't penalize us. You want me to do that? Or you want me to travel there? How can I travel there in the condition that she's in? So as a young husband, you can see that he's got a tough decision. It's one of those decisions where neither choice is very good. You ever hit one of those? Neither choice is very good. And so then what do you usually say? Well, I'll choose the one that's not as bad, right? Well, what if they're both equally bad? Then what do? Then you have to pray, right? Well, just pray the whole time, right? You know? And God, how can you require this of us, right? I don't know exactly how he prayed. Well, you know, the lost people, they have all the same problems as we do, right? They have more, but similar troubles, and they have no help whatsoever. They don't have any to pray to at all. But we are in the middle of a plan, the epic plan of the ages, right? And we know the author of the plan, right? So we could just ask. I mean, if this part is part of the plan too, so Lord, how do you want me to do this part? Because I don't know, because both these ways don't seem very good. So we certainly could ask, right? Being in the middle of his plan doesn't make us exempt from hard choices, but we do have a way to get leading and guidance. Mary, do you remember what you said at Elizabeth, the word you spoke? My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. You still feel that way, Mary? He is still your Savior, Mary. Now you can still rejoice, though you face this task. He still regards the low estate of his handmaid. And he still will show strength with his arm on your behalf. So I wonder what kind of conversations Mary and Joseph had while they were trying to decide what to do. Did she encourage her husband? Did she remember these words and speak them back to him as he was trying to decide? Or was she overcome with emotion and fear and let all that out? I hope she encouraged him. I wonder if she said, Joseph, let's pray and ask God to show you which choice to make. I wonder if she said that. But, you know, they eventually decided, right? So they went on and they got there. 85 miles by donkey. I don't know how long it took them. I guess they'd have to figure maybe at most 10 miles a day. I don't know. I don't think that'd be pushing it. So maybe it's less, you know, 10 days, 2 weeks, something like that. They got there, right? Verse 6, and so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. Maybe just a couple days after she got there. I don't know. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger. because there was no room for them in the inn. So that's all the scene. That's the scene with that we love, right? To imagine the little baby in the. Whenever little babies are born around here, all of the ladies want to flock around and see the wrinkly little peanut head and how cute he is. And well, men like that too, you know. But it seems like the ladies are even more so, right? And so Lori has a couple of young mothers that she's been working with, and you know, and so they'll ask a new mother questions, and so now, you know, she's connected with them on the WeChat, which is what you use, and so she's always looking at the videos of the little kids, and I look at them sometimes, and she's more interested than I am. That's pretty normal for a mother, right? So he's here. He's born. Everything's perfect. Perfect. All their troubles are forgotten, right? He's here. Did you forget your troubles after you got saved? For a little while anyways, right? But since the troubles didn't disappear, you know, eventually they're going to come back up and eventually God's going to... But you look at them differently, right? After you have Jesus Christ in your heart, doesn't everything seem different? So they're going to find out that there's going to have some more things going on in their lives later. And, not small problems either. But at this point, it's all forgotten. It doesn't matter the poor conditions. You know, it's not even a hotel room, for crying out loud. It's not even in a hospital. And then they rode on a donkey for days and days and days. Doesn't matter. And then if you finish the story, you know, you got these kings coming, all these gifts being brought. Wow, that must have been something. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 2. Christmas is actually a pretty good story, isn't it? Too bad people don't totally forget about it. Matthew 2, and verse 12. This is later. It says, they were being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod. They departed unto their own country another way. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeareth to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt, and be there, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. So we know that Herod didn't find out. He was mocked of the wise men. And he tried to kill all of the children, 2 years old and under, and hopefully he would get the one that he wanted. So the Lord helped them to avoid something terrible, right? There's terrible things going on in this world, isn't there? Terrible. Even in Minneapolis, there's terrible things. People are shot. Young people die in miserable ways. This is a city of sorrow and pain. And you can pick any place that you want to go to. Doesn't matter if it's a small town, you'll find some there. And if it's a big city, you're just going to find more. And the more people congregate, there's more, the more sin and pain and misery. This world is full of it, but the Lord intended for them to avoid it, at least at this stage, in the story. But God is going to finish His plan, and that's why at some point in time you may avoid it, and at some point in time, well, maybe not, because He's going to finish His plan, and His plan is not just that we will always avoid trouble and pain. Joseph, it's interesting, he gets this message. Now that they're aligned, right? It wasn't like at the beginning. Joseph didn't know about that, and so the angel came separately to Mary, and he had a dream by himself. But now they're aligned, but yet the angel comes to him in the dream and tells him what he must do. Because although Joseph, he's not the virgin mother. He's not Mary, the young Jewish girl that is carrying the Son of God. He's not the heroine of the story. So you shouldn't make Mary a hero. You just wait till we get to the end of the story. If you don't want to call her a heroine, she's definitely a courageous and resilient woman. But he's not her. But he does have a role to fill. His role is very important, right? He has his role. And you might say, well, I'm not a preacher, so what the Lord wants me to do, it doesn't necessarily matter if I do it or if I fail. Oh, no. It matters. It matters. If you don't do it, it matters. If you fail, it matters. At least he's got to find someone else, and he's got to readjust and so on. It doesn't matter if you're not like one of the big names or whatever, and you don't spend a lot of time in the pulpit. It doesn't matter. You have your job. You need to do it. You're part of the plan, too. You're in the story, too. Let's jump forward a couple days. Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, 21, verse 21. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel, before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. And as it is written in the law of the Lord, every male shall that openeth the womb shall be called holy of the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And that's because we understand Mary is a sinner, just like any other woman. So she offers this sinner sacrifice. She was a sinner before she conceived. She was a sinner after she conceived. In the future, Mary and Joseph, you will attend a much bigger sacrifice. Preparations are being made even now. And they will all come together on a barren hill called Golgotha, outside the city. Not here at this temple. Because he will be rejected of men, even his own people. Don't reject your part in his plan. He is to be the Savior of all his people, and your individual Savior as well. You must accept the sacrifice of himself on that day that he will make for you. And if you have never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you're out of the story. You're not in the story yet. You can listen to the story, you can read about the story, but you're not in the story yet. You have to accept him as your personal Savior. And that's what we preach here. That's what the gospel is. What he did is to make salvation available for all men, and the story is to all men. But if you want to be in the story, he needs to be in you, and you have to ask him. You have to turn to him, repent of your sins, and receive him as your Savior, and then you'll be in the story. So let's continue reading here in chapter 2. Let's see, verse 25. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. The consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Well, that's pretty amazing that the Lord would show that. He must have had good fellowship with the Lord. Or the Lord showed him something special like that. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child, Jesus, to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God. And he understood who he was. probably more, I think, because of his role in as a man that was pious and studied the scripture, he probably understood a little better than Mary and Joseph. He held him in his arms and blessed God and said, "Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation." So what's the plan for all men, the consolation of Israel? And not only that, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people. There it is. The consolation of Israel and preparation for all people. A light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. Is he still your light? When you were searching for a light and everything was dark and you saw that light and you knew it was him, right? And so you received him and then everything was light, right? Maybe the first couple days. Well, is he still your light? You still walk along and walking with him as he sheds light on your way? He's able to give the same kind of light he always did. Are you willing for him to give light to others through you? And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, "Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." Well, those words are quite different, aren't they? And I think they were glad to hear the first words of Simeon. But these words would have changed them totally. Perhaps they were excited and feelings of anticipation, they would have become subdued and confused. How could they understand? How could they be prepared for what's going to happen? Yet they are being prepared, are they not? The Lord is showing them things as they go. He's telling them things that they would just remember and think. So they left the temple subdued, so different than when they entered. Anybody ever listened to Doc Ruckman's dramatized comedy? How many of your kids listen? Come on, go ahead with me. Yeah. And he'd always say, and time went on. And so time went on, right? And so now, let's jump over to, let's see where we were, down to 40. Some time has gone on, and the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. And now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the Feast of the Passover. And you're probably familiar what's happened here. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast, and when they had fulfilled the days, as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it, which was probably not strange at that time. But they supposed him to have been in the company with went on a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. His mother said unto him, "Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing." And he said unto them, How is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business? And they understood not the saying which he spoke to them. They understood not. That's a little unusual, don't you think? Because they know who he is, or at least who he's supposed to be. And they've heard some things from more than one person. But, you know, after the circumcision, they would have left the temple. They probably just went back to Nazareth and they resumed their normal lives, right? You know, so Joseph had the business, and, Jesus got bigger, he was probably already working with his father. And as he got bigger, he did more and more, and probably, you know, that's Mary's having a couple more children by this time. So they just live their busy lives as if it's normal, and it's no big deal. The Son of God lives in our family. My kid is one of my kids is the Son of God. They probably didn't think of it like that. I wonder if the memories of what was said and I wonder if they had faded. Is that possible? The angel coming into a room and the dreams, is it possible for those things to fade? The ways the Lord, you know, we don't get to see angels, I know, and he doesn't speak to us in dreams like that. You know, but when the Lord has showed us things, and it's easy for us to forget, isn't it? So maybe they just kind of forgot. And so they just, he's with them every day, so it became normal and nothing special, right? Even though undoubtedly, as a young child, he could not have been the same as if he had other little brothers and sisters, because he never committed sin. I believe that he never committed one sin, even as a little child. I don't think that would work. You might be able to argue, well, if he's in the age of innocence, and it doesn't matter. No, I don't think as a child, he ever did anything wrong. I don't think he ever disobeyed his mother in one thing. I imagine that he occasionally did things out of ignorance, because if a kid doesn't know what he's supposed to do, he might do the wrong thing. Okay, but then as soon as his mother reminded him, then he just went off and did the right thing. He said, okay, Mom. Right? So they had to know something different about this kid. So there had to be some types of reminders in their lives that Jesus is with us. Okay? The Son of God is with us. But I guess it all just kind of faded. And so when they got to the temple, he said that. But it's a little bit cryptic, I'll give you that. He does say, you know, I must be about my Father's business, and, you know, that's not a real long explanation, so maybe they didn't understand. You think they might have been able to understand? Maybe. If they would have, like, thought a little bit, maybe they would have, I wonder what he meant by that. But at that point, they didn't understand. So time goes by. Let's jump over to John chapter 2. We're moving along here. John chapter 2. John chapter 2 and verse 1. On the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there, and both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, they have no wine. And Jesus saith unto her, Woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. So she was asking him to supply them. His mother saith unto the servants, Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. So Jesus is a grown man now. He's a respected teacher. He has disciples. When he teaches, there's large crowds. Now Mary here, she asks her grown son to do something, and he answers her with an address that must be perceived as disrespectful. At least, in my idea, it would have to be perceived as disrespectful. It doesn't matter how old a man is, he's not going to address his mother as a woman. You might say, you know, it would be mom or mother or, you know, something like that. So am I saying Jesus committed a sin? No. I'm saying in our understanding, the way that he addressed her would have been considered disrespectful. So I wonder how she felt about that. It must have been a shock. I could hypothesize that this is the first time he's talked to her like that. You know, we don't know, but it's quite possible. And so maybe she's been usually called mother. She talks to him. He says something, he says, mother, you know, something like that. And now he says in front of other people, woman, what have I to do with thee? That is like, I don't even know you type of. But how does she respond? Is she upset? Does she glare at him? Ever glared at your spouse when they said something you didn't like? I don't think there was any of that. She said instead, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. I don't even see a pause here. Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. She's thinking, this man-child I have born and raised is God's son. I think she understands that more fully now. You've walked with him for a few years. You understand that more fully now, that he is God's son. And so Mary has learned. He will address me as he will. He will answer me as he wills. He will honor my request or not, as he wills. Have you learned that as well? How do you respond if you don't get what you want? Mary said, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. The time passed. I'm sure Mary and probably even Joseph attended some of his lessons and so on. Probably Joseph less, but I don't know. Hard to say about Joseph. He's not mentioned as much later on. And so now another Passover has come, and this one is going to be different. We'll jump ahead. John chapter 19. We're getting to the end of the story. Yes, my last page of notes. We're doing good. So you know how this goes. We won't go into all the details. Jesus has been arrested. The trial has been concluded. And he's been unjustly condemned, as you know. And he's been mocked, spit upon, beaten, and nailed to a cross in a most painful way. Verse 25. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother. And his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. Have you arrived at the cross as you walk your Christian life? I hope none of you have to face a cross like this. This is for this woman, this is a terrible cross. She's watching her son put to death. Some of us will have harder crosses than others, and that's just the part of the story that God gives us. You can't compare. You can't say, my cross is harder than so-and-so's cross. I wish I didn't have this cross. How come no one else has to bear a cross like I do? You're in the story. You have your part in the story. It's no one else's part. It's your part, and God has made it that way, and he won't change. He hath regarded your low estate. He will regard it. He will show strength with his arm. Remember Mary? Didn't he say, yea,
a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also.
There is, Mary, the treasure of your soul. Don't turn away. When he comes to you with your cross, Christian, don't turn away. You know, there's a structure to a story. If you've ever studied literature, and you probably had to, whether you liked it or not, but it probably helped you. And then there's a structure to the story. You know, you introduce the characters, and then the conflicts build, and the characters are deepened, and so on and so on. And it moves toward what we call the climax, and then it's usually the most exciting part, right? And all the conflicts are resolved, and then everything is cleaned up in the last chapter or two. If you want to evaluate this as a story, I mean, we know it's not. This is the historical record. If you want to evaluate this as a story, this is an exquisite climax. All the depths of human pain and emotion are plumbed here. But you have to think about it some. You have to put yourself in the story, right? Yeah, you got to try to feel what Mary felt. You got to try to imagine your Joseph and so on. It's all there. Verse 26, and when Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. And so he's referring to that disciple. Then saith he to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour that disciple took her unto his own home. So what's happened here is that before he dies, he's making arrangements for the care of his mother. Because he's the eldest son. And I'm sure Joseph, his father is still around. But as the eldest son, many years down the line, and her husband will not be with her. And so he's making those arrangements. Mary, do you still remember the words of Elizabeth? My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. It doesn't say, my spirit sorrowed, Mary. It says, rejoice, rejoice. And hasn't there been times of rejoicing earlier on, Mary? But today is the day of the cross, but it will bring greater rejoicing, but you don't understand that yet. In fact, I don't think you can imagine. But she accepted the arrangement. She's already there as a mother and as a believer. She's there. She understands who her son is. Are you there? Remember Elizabeth said, Blessed is she that believeth, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. Mary, there shall be a performance. And so we know that she was there when he came out of the tomb, and I just cannot imagine. You think the other disciples were jumping up and down happy? This woman's joy could not be described by anyone. I mean, I doubt she could describe it. Who of us could understand it? And it was different forever after that. The sorrow and the pain was washed away for her, at least the pain that she had experienced. Now, we don't know how they lived afterwards, but afterwards, what she didn't understand at the day that she was at the cross, then she understood it all, right? Because she got to see the end of the story, right? She got to see things get cleaned up. You know how the story, the climax comes, and then at the end, they wrap everything up. And so she's seen all that. She was there, and she probably talked to him again. And it must have been amazing. And so after that, whatever came after that, would it have been very hard for her? Not nearly as hard. I mean, I don't know how their lives went on, and I don't want to make a light of anybody's problems before or after they're saved, but how could it be harder after she knew this? It couldn't have been harder, no matter what she has to go through. Blessed is she that believeth, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. And that's her son, too. So, that's the biggest story ever told. Sometimes they'll write it, the greatest story ever told, but they usually only, maybe they talk about the story, the whole thing. That's a great story. We're part of it, right? And so, nothing else is written about Joseph and Mary afterwards, right? We don't. This is it. So, how did their lives go? I imagine they went back to Nazareth and lived their normal life, and you know, as far as the things that people do, but they had to have been forever changed, forever changed. I imagine occasionally they, or maybe quite frequently, they talked about it. Had conversations about comparing, and Joseph, probably, when he was young, learning carpentry, Mary, I saw things in him. I just didn't place enough importance on him. I should have known it when we found him in the temple that day, and he was only 12 years old. I should have been able to figure it out. I don't know what to do. Mary says, "Yeah, I remember. How could I forget? I was miserable for those 3 days, and we couldn't find him." And Joseph, when he was in the tomb, that was terrible. I don't ever want it to be like that again. I want to remember everything he said to me. I wish I would have stayed around more when he was preaching and stuff like that, and I wish I would have went to all the preaching and all the lessons. And Joseph said, "Well, yeah, I think that way too, but, well, he wasn't our only child." Mary said, "Do you think any of the disciples would write any of it down? Can we suggest it? And we can help maybe buy writing materials, because the business is going good, right, Joseph?" Jesus actually really built up the business, didn't he? He was like, "It's a good idea, man." All right, let's stand. All right, bring on the piano and we're done for this morning. You can start playing what number you got there. 111. Okay, we're on 111.